and he said somebody had requested that you be interviewed. May I do it?
Sure.
Okay. Can we do it now? Do you have the time to? Okay. I'll ask you, 12, 13, 14 questions, and if you would please just answer short or as long as you want to, and if you don't want to answer something, just ignore it. 58, the Braves signed you for a $60,000 bonus.
That's correct.
That was the year after the bonus babies had to go in captivity for 2 years. Was there any restrictions placed on you as a bonus baby?
No.
Okay, so you were free to, they could put you any place they wanted to?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, that's that other rule was death on wheels, I think. Okay, you started out, you pitched pretty effectively. Jacksonville in 59, you had 19 strikeouts in a game and 11 of them in a row. I believe that set the league record, did it not?
Yeah, I think it's still...
Not many fellows at many levels are going to do any better than that. You remember the game pretty well?
Yeah, it was against the Macon Dodgers. Let's see, what was the guy's name? He was a coach. I think he's still coaching out there for the Dodgers. One of the coaches was, let me see, who was that?
Who's on the Dodgers coaching staff? I'd have to look that up.
Daniel Bryan was the guy's name.
Oh, okay. I remember him. I don't know if he's still there or not, but I remember him, yeah. The next year you led the Texas League in strikeouts? You must have thrown the ball pretty well. How fast, you know?
I was clocked at 96, 97.
Oh, my goodness. That's moving it. You weren't walking as many as you were striking out, but you were sure walking a bunch.
I had control trouble there, and then finally found it there in Louisville in 60, well, the beginning of 62.
Did you change anything?
No, I just made my mind up. I was either going to make it to the big leagues or I was going to go home. I think a lot of it had to do with a change of attitude, you know, that I was really going to put, you know, 100% effort forward and make it out of the minors, and I did, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, it seems once you got your strikeout to walk ratio up, there was no stopping you, because once you straightened out there at Louisville, put you there half a season and they called you up?
Mm-hmm.
You remember your first start in the majors?
It was against Cincinnati. I got beat. I think it was 3-2. I gave up one earned run in the game. I only pitched like seven innings. It was a really good game. I think I struck out about seven or eight that day.
Yeah, sounds like a pretty good game. I'm gonna look that up. I've got a reference here of everybody's first games. I'm trying to look it up at the. In the old newspapers. That's a pretty good start. You pitched well for the Braves. Earned run average was pretty good. You a 3-4 record. I guess what you probably half start, half relief that first.
No, it started. That's
did you?
All I did.
Okay.
Yeah, they brought me up. They said they were going to use me as a starter, and I would. They were going to call me up the year before, but they said when they brought me up, they had the intention when I came, they wanted me to stay. They didn't want to, you know, yo-yo me up and down. And they figured that one more year, that would have been 61, wouldn't hurt, so.
Well, you were still a kid.
Yeah, and then 62, I had, you know, kind of put it all together. And I stayed then, you know.
They had a pretty decent other left-hander there when you came.
Yeah, Warren Spahn.
Did you learn anything from him?
Yeah, Spahn is all right. Spahn was a slider screwball pitcher, and I was a fastball curveball.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, back then Spahn had, well, he had pinpoint control. You know, I mean, it was just, he's more like a Glavin pitcher is today.
Right.
Glavin's not an overpowering pitcher. He's a spot pitcher. And if he's hitting his spots, you know, you can't, it's almost impossible to beat him, you know.
Yeah, and he's proven that this year. You, where do you live now?
I live in, address is Lilburn, but I live 1.7 miles, 7/10 of a mile from Stone Mountain Park.
Yeah. I went to the University of Georgia, grew up in Marietta, lived in Lawrenceville for several years.
Mm-hmm.
am familiar with the area. It's a nice area.
I live, well, the subdivision I live in is in River Cliff. It's right just off 78 Highway. Back, I live back on the Yellow River there.
Uh-huh. I know the area. It sure has changed. I haven't been there for a long time.
It used to be like a rabbit trail now. It's like
3-5. I remember when I was a little boy, we used to go visit my uncle in Sandy Springs. And I'm not, you're 2 years older than I am, so we're about the same crop. We used to go out to Sandy Springs to visit my uncle, and that was like an overnight trip.
Yeah, you thought it was on the other side of Georgia.
That's right.
I've lived here since 66, and God, this place has changed so much, you know.
It's hard to imagine. I get down there for a visit once in a while, but I've been gone from there for 20 years. I'm in Lexington, Kentucky.
Oh, is that where you're at?
Yeah.
Oh.
I love it here, but I sure did like it down there, too.
I loved it in Louisville when I played baseball.
Yeah, that's a nice area.
Met some nice people there.
Yeah, this is a good place to live. I guess every place is if you got the right attitude, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, let's get back to you. The Braves, you were there in 62. You were there to stay. You got better each year, 64. Big year.
Yeah, in that year, I could have had a really, really, really good year. It was like if they would have averaged me 4.2 runs per game, I would have ended up with something like 24, 25 wins.
Wow.
I just couldn't get no runs for me, you know. Kind of like when Negro was over here with the latter part of his years with the Braves.
Right.
And they just couldn't score him any runs.
That's very, very frustrating.
Yeah, it was, you know. And Cloninger went out there that year. I think he won 20 that year. And
yeah, I think he did win like 23 or 24, didn't he?
Yeah. He had like 20 or 21.
Was it?
Okay. And, Jesus, he was averaging 6-7 runs a game.
That sure does help, doesn't it?
Yeah, I was sitting there watching this, and I'm thinking, God, if I could just get half those runs, you know, because there's a lot of times I go out there and ditch, you know, most of my games were 2-1, 3-1, you know, 1-0, 2-0. I got shut out quite a few times that year.
It's nice to win a 1 or 2-0 game, but when you're losing them, that gets very, very frustrating after a while.
It really does, you know.
Well, what happened in 65? Your arm went bad. When did that begin?
Well, in early spring, my shoulder, I was having trouble with my shoulder. I think I went to spring training. I didn't have anything to prove, and I think I started throwing a little too hard too soon down there, and I pulled some tendons up in the top of my shoulder, and you know, being hard-headed, I was all right, and I started the season, and I wasn't all right, and soon the hitters begin to say, you don't have a fastball, you know, and they jumping all over me, you know, that my curveball was always good, but then when I throw my fastball, they were looking, you know, he's got the good fastball, don't let him throw it by, but hell, I couldn't throw it by nobody, you know, and then all of a sudden, bing, bang, boom, and it was, you know, they put me on it. That was all first and only time I was on a disabled list. I was on it for, I believe it was a 21-day disabled list there, and I took some treatments. I think Dr. Brewer was a doctor. Gave me some gave me cobalt treatments, and then I took some kind of diathermy treatment every day at the hospital, and then I would go to the ballpark and run. And then he said to lay in the sun and get all the sun you possibly can and swim. And that's what I did. I'd go there in the morning, and then I would go to the Holiday Inn out there and with my family, and we'd spend the whole day there. You know, kids would swim in the pool, I'd swim, lay in the sun. And my arm, geez, it just came around.
Yeah, you came back. You maybe weren't quite as sharp as you had been, but you came back to be an awfully good pitcher.
You know, I just, I still had my strikeout ratio was there. I wasn't walking anybody. But, you know, same old thing. You know, you get a couple of runs, then you don't get any, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, I had some pretty good years with Will with Houston, and other than that, that was about it.
Did the arm bother you at any time beyond that?
I never did have any more arm trouble, and I still had my 92, 93, 94 mile an hour fastball.
Yeah.
And to throw hard, and there was many nights after, you know, I came back. Well, I came back against Chicago, and I think I pitched like 7 innings when I came back, and I struck out. I think I struck out 11 that Saturday.
Wow.
Monday, Tuesday afternoon there in Chicago. My arm felt great, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's encouraging, because a lot of these boys don't come around.
Yeah.
What did you think? You said you went to the Astros. What did you think of that trade?
Well, it kind of upset me with the Braves. You know, I've been in the Braves organization all through, you know, my minor league career, and then the seven years in with the big club, and then now I'm sitting there watching the thing on television, and I was traded. Nobody called or nothing, you know.
Yeah, that's a pretty poor way to hear about it. I talked to a lot of fellows, that's the way they hear it.
You know, I mean, I thought that was a real, you know, crummy way to do things, and, you know, then it got back that, you know, I was upset about the way, and they said, oh, they had tried to call. Well, hell, I was home. My neighbor, I was sitting there watching the World Series. It was the World Series, I think it was the Cardinals were playing that year. I believe that's who it was. Well, anyway.
Yeah, it was the Cardinals was Red Sox, I think, wasn't it? Yeah.
Sitting there watching that, you know. And they said they'd call the house and nobody was home. Well, that was a lie.
Yeah.
Because I was home, yeah.
That was sure a good trade for Houston.
Yeah, I tell you, I enjoyed Houston. It was a good organization, and enjoyed playing down there, you know. I mean, we had a pretty good ball club. Just missing a couple of key players, you know.
It just looking at the record, and maybe depending on how you feel about it, but it looks like you probably had your best years with Houston, even though maybe your one loss record wasn't quite as good.
Yeah, I did. I had some good years down there,
mm-hmm.
you know. And it was a good thing, you know. When you went to the ballpark in Houston, you were going to play. You know, there wasn't. You know, it could be pouring down outside, but you were going there. You were going to play. You know,
mm-hmm.
And that's good when you can do that. The last couple of years I played, my Achilles tendon was the things that were killing me. You know, and I think it was because of playing on that blasted AstroTurf. And back then, they didn't have the shoes, the supports in your shoes, or shoes made to run on that stuff. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And it really, guys used to get shin splints all the time, and mine went to my Achilles tendons. God, I used to have to go to the ballpark and put my ankles in a whirlpool for 20, 30 minutes to get them loosened up, you know, so I could run.
Almost everyone I've spoken with who played the early years on AstroTurf has complaints like that are very similar to it.
Is that right?
They had tendon problems. One, let's see, who was it now? It was on an outdoor AstroTurf. The field got so hot, it may have been in St. Louis, the field got so hot that every place the shoe had a spike on it, they had little burns on the bottom of their feet after the games, when they played day games on it. And a lot of fellas had various and sundry. It was mostly tendon problems because it was so evidently so hard. It didn't accept the concussion of your foot being put down like real grass did.
Yeah, I mean it really. I could have played, you know, when I came home in 72 with Montreal. I could have played. Well, I had three teams that called me, want me to come. Well, one of them was Detroit. The Angels and the Texas Rangers, and one of the things that really stopped me was my damn ankles hurt. You know, my Achilles tendons hurt me so bad that I just I didn't want to go through any more of it. You know?
Yeah, I don't blame you.
I mean, it really my arm. There was nothing wrong, and I was pitching good ball in Montreal, and it got to the point where they told me they were going to start pitching young kids that were trying to bring young kids in there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
In the organization, and I had a 4-2 record, and I had about 4 or 5 saves. That was the first time I'd ever been used in relief, you know, and was doing the job, but and I wasn't pitching. I asked Mark, I said, damn, if he ain't going to pitch me, geez, just let me go home, you know. And about 3 or 4 weeks went by, and finally they said, fine, you know. They gave me my release and let me go. But it was kind of a mixed up organization back then. You know?
Well, you know, for whatever consolation it is, it's still kind of a mixed up organization.
It was, I don't know. I don't, you know, Mr. McHale, you know, I was who the general manager was when I was with the Braves, you know, but I don't know if he had that much to say or do with that club up there or what, but I mean, I always thought it was a poorly run organization, you know?
Yeah. That's a fairly universal complaint off and on from former Expos. There's always been something wrong in the front office, and nobody's been able to exactly put a finger on what it was. Talking about your strikeouts, you may or may not be aware of this. In the entire history of Major League Baseball, you are number 11 among all left-handers in strikeouts per innings pitched with pitchers who have over 1,500 innings.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, you're right up there. Just see, maybe it was 11. Sam McDowell, Sandy Koufax, there ahead of you. Bob Veal, Valenzuela, Carlton, Rube Waddell, Lowledge. And I have to go back to the list, but you're 11th or 12th, and there've been a whole lot of left-handed pitchers over the last 100 years.
Yeah, there is. That's something. I'm glad you told me that.
Yeah, it's a pretty impressive statistic. Actually, let me see. You've got 6 points. I mean, I've got that. I've figured it out here somewhere. Where is it? Where are you? 6.57. I was at 6.67. I can't read my writing now. It's right around 6.6 strikeouts per 9 innings for your career.
I knew it was somewhere around. It was close to. I was. If you had asked me that, I would have told you. I thought it was around 7. You know, I wasn't far off.
Probably was until your last couple of years.
Yeah.
Then one of the years, or your last year with Houston. I don't know where I can't keep anything straight, but you had your poor strikeout to inning ratio. I don't know what it was now, but it was pretty low, and that probably cost you a couple of tenths on your average. But still, you know, you're right up there with some big names.
I can't remember the year down in Houston, whether it was 68 or 69. The starting pitching staff down there set a all-time Major League strikeout record, American and National League.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was the way they do it. You correct me if I'm wrong. It was the starting pitching or the pitch?
The pitching staff. I think it was 69. Yeah, all right, here it is. I've got it. You guys struck out 1,221 batters in 69. You, Dicker, Wilson, and Tom Griffin had over, let's say, you had about 850 between the four of you guys.
Yeah.
And then Jim Ray had a strikeout an inning, although he only pitched 115 innings.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was 69. That's had I don't know if that's been approached or not. Anybody who pitches against the Tigers, I guess, has a chance to break it, but I think that may still be the record. I'll check that out before I get this sent to the magazine.
It was, I remember that was one of the things that came out, they flashed it up there the night, you know, when we, somebody had struck so, you know, so many out that night to put us in that, that was quite an impressive thing, I thought, you know.
Oh, yeah, gee whiz.
Well, we had some fireballers. God almighty, man.
Yes.
Shirker, man, he could throw. And Don Wilson, every time he came up against the Cincinnati Reds, he thought he had a personal vendetta against him. I think he threw a couple of no-hitters against him.
He was a fantastic pitcher. It's just a crying shame what happened, but he was a fantastic. the young man. Well, actually, heck, you were the old man on the staff.
Yeah.
At 30. Mm-hmm. You guys lacked a little punch.
Yeah, we did. We just needed that extra. You know, if Rader could have been a power potential, which, you know, he would hit good and then he wouldn't hit. You know, he would go into a slump and hell, he'd go 0 for 60, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was nothing for him to do that. And then Jimmy Wynn, you know, he always had the potential of hitting a long ball, but he wasn't that consistent, you know. And then, well, if Morgan would have played like he did when he played at Cincinnati over there with Houston,
that probably would have been the difference right there.
That would have been the difference for us at Houston.
You know? He was a 240, 250 hitter when he was with you guys.
Yeah. That would have really helped us.
Yeah, that would have made a world of difference. Is there one game that stands out in your career as either your best game or maybe the biggest thrill you had?
Yeah, I think here in 1966 against Sandy Koufax was probably one of the biggest games, because every time, you know, here in Atlanta, they used to really pump that up against Koufax because he was a big draw anyway.
Oh, yeah.
And, came in here on a Saturday night, and he beat me 2-1. And then about 10 days later, we played the Dodgers again, and I think he beat me in Los Angeles is where it was. No, it was a close turnaround time. It was in 66 when it happened, but anyway, he beat me 2-1, and then about, I'd say, 2 or 3 weeks later, I pitched against him again here, and it was on a Thursday night. My wife was pregnant with my youngest daughter, and she didn't go to the game because we had a potential chance of rain that night. So I went to the game, and I had a no-hit ball game for 7 innings, and we had a rain delay come about, it was about the 4th inning. But they had sold the entire stadium out.
Wow.
And 6,000 standing room around between the fence and the... Have you ever been to Atlanta Stadium?
Oh, yeah, several times. I've seen you pitch there, yeah.
And that was all open. It was a chain link fence at the time.
Uh-huh.
That was all open in there, and there was about 20 feet behind that. And they had sold 6,000, a dollar a piece, standing room.
They
won't do that now because of fire marshal.
Right.
But they had sold, and that was... You know, they talk about Henry Aaron's crowd being the biggest crowd ever. Well, it wasn't, really. But see, those people, the 6,000 that were in the standing room didn't go through a turnstile, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't logged into the, whatever, the attendance that night. But anyway, we had about a 3-hour and, it was like 3 hours and 30-minute rain delay because there was so many people there, they didn't want to give... you know, the money back. So anyway, we start the game off, I guess it must have been 10:30, 11 o'clock. Well, I figured, man, I got Koufax. Goddamn, he's got that arthritic elbow. He won't come back. Jesus, he come back going just as good as art as ever, you know. So we rock along. I think the game was rained out in about the 4th inning. So we rock along there. The score is... I've got him beat 1-0 going into the, it was in the 7th inning. And I had to give up a hit, and LeFever hit a change-up curveball off me. Hit the damn pipe and bounced over the fence.
Oh, no.
And it tied the game 1-1. And let me go back before the game started. Eddie Matthews had been playing third base. Well, Bobby Bregan was the manager. Well, he'd come in that night and put Mike Delahose on third base because of Koufax pitching, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Jesus, Matthews come in the clubhouse that night and seen that. God, he went bananas, you know. He batted against left-handers ever since he'd been playing baseball.
For 15 years by that time.
So he said something to him out on the field there. Jesus, Bregan changed it right back in the lineup. Okay, now I'll go on to the seventh. So we go through the seventh to eighth inning in the score. Now it's, you know, it's 1-1. So we're going into the bottom of the ninth inning, 1-1. Matthews comes up with, I think there was one out in the ninth inning, and Ellie puts one in the upper deck, and we went 2-1.
Yeah, that's
a home run. So the previous 3 weeks before, Koufax beat me 2-1, so can I turn around with a sellout crowd, and I beat him 2-1, and then I finally get home about 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, and my wife says, you got to take me to the hospital. And I had to take my wife to the hospital where she was in labor pain. And I didn't get home till about, I guess it must have been 1 o'clock the next afternoon, you know. My youngest daughter was born.
It's got to be a pretty exciting evening with all that going on. I saw you pitch a game there. I think, and this may not be right, I think it was against Chris Short of the Phillies. It may not be either the right pitcher or the right team, but it's been a long time ago. It was a close game. It was like 1-1. And neither one of you had given up more than 3 or 4 hits. And I think they hit for you in the 7th or 8th. And I don't remember who came in, but he got the holy crap knocked out of him. And Philadelphia won it. But you and Short were just trading out for out. I'm sure it was Short, although, you know, this may not be. It's been a long time ago, and I wasn't making notes.
It could have been, because I used to pitch a pretty – I hold the Braves strikeout record today with the Braves, and it was set against the Phillies.
Uh-huh.
Buecher, remember, you know Bob Buecher?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah, he was playing. He was catching for the Phillies, and because I remember Mark got so upset. See, Mark, a lot of times, you know, he would get over on third base and start coaching third base just to stick barbs in you, you know. You know, and I set the record. I think it was like 14 or 15.
Mm-hmm.
That night against Philadelphia.
August 14th, 1966.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if that was the game or was that a complete game? Do you remember?
Yeah, that was.
Okay, that wasn't it, because I remember. I don't even know who hit for you now, but I remember everybody sitting around me didn't understand why they were hitting for you, because you were even. And
yeah, Reagan used to pull some of the dumbest damn things I ever seen, you know, and never could give you an answer why he would do it. You know?
Yeah, well, that was a dumb one, because whoever he brought in, heck, I could have done as well. I mean, when you give up 4 or 5 runs in one inning, you know, evidently you're not. And I don't remember who it was, but he got bombed. You hit, speaking of home runs, you hit 4 home runs. You remember them?
Yeah.
Who are they off of?
Off of John Bruiser, and I hit it in Milwaukee, and then I hit one off of, it was a left-handed pitcher here for the Braves. I hit one here in Atlanta, I guess. One in the teepee. Remember when they had the teepee?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I went right through the door of the teepee one night when I was with Houston. That was 2.
Was it George Stone?
George Stone. That's what
it was. He used to give up a few.
Yeah. I hit one off George Stone. And then I hit one off Don Cardwell with Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the other one came off John Boozer in Philadelphia.
Two off Boozer?
I think I hit 2 off Boozer, 1 off Cardwell, and I didn't. No, I didn't either. It was against. It was against somebody in L.A. I hit a home run, I believe it was. Because I got it was a. It either tied the game up, because I hit it right. You know, in L.A. that those left field foul poles come in pretty close right there.
Yeah, right over the.
Yeah. I hit it about 15 feet over. It was. But I think it was against the Dodgers, and not Boozer. But my first home run came off of John Boozer, though.
That's the one that'll always be remembered, I guess.
Oh, yeah. You know? Well, see, when I signed out of high school, the New York Yankees wanted to sign me as a first baseman because I could really hit. I was a good hitter in high school. And the scout out there for the New York Yankees, his name was Deacon Jones,
sure,
told me that I'd never make it in the big leagues as a pitcher. sacrifice trying to make it to the big leagues as a pitcher. And sitting over there on the bench one time after a game, he was talking to me, was telling me that, you know.
I guess you showed him, didn't you?
Yeah.
Who was the best hitter you saw, or the best player, maybe?
Well, I tell you, one of the best hitters I ever pitched against was Roberto Clemente.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a type of hitter, you know, you strike him out on a high ball and you throw it to him again and he hit it out of the park. You strike him out on a low inside fastball one time, and the next time you come back there thinking, you know, I got him already once there, you come back with it low inside and you hit a line shot someplace. So, you know, there was no set pattern to pitch him. I mean, you know, Charlie Dressen used to say, keep it high and tight, low and away, and I'll think of something, you know? That was just about the way you had to pitch him, you know?
He was amazing. He really